Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. How many of you today, you're thankful for the work that God has begun in your life? Thank you, Jesus. It doesn't matter if you've been living for God for years and years, or if you're here today as the first day of the rest of your life. I want to tell you, he's begun a good work in every single one of us, and he's able to complete it. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, he's still working on me. Thank you, Lord. Would you pray and ask God to speak to us? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for the atmosphere of praise and worship here today. We pray that your word would go forth with anointing, with power, God, that you would minister to every heart in life. We give you all the praise and the glory for what you're going to do in this house, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I preached to us here today on this subject, Master Planned. Master Planned. There are many organizations, businesses, universities, and municipalities who have developed what is called a master plan. A long-term plan looking at future growth and development, taking into consideration current facts about facilities and population, economy, and challenges that are facing each of those, along with projections of future growth and goals and vision. Master plans look well into the future while breaking up long-term goals into short-term plans of action. It is today that I preach to you not only about an earthly plan, but about a godly plan, a heavenly plan, an eternal plan, because we are all part of God's master plan. I want to tell you, God has a purpose for every single one of us. He has given it quite a lot of thought, and he's set all of the elements into motion, and all of the pieces of the puzzle are set to come together in his perfect timing. It truly is a master plan. In the physical sense, there are some subdivisions and even towns and cities which boast of being a master planned community. But today, I'm privileged to preach to a group of people here today that you are master planned. You are a master planned person. You are a master planned human being. You are master planned saints of God. And I've come to encourage somebody today. I've come to remind you here today that what the Lord has thought out for your life, and what God has begun to do in you and for you and through you, what he began maybe a long time ago, he is able to complete it today. He is able to bring it all to pass. You are, in fact, master planned. You have been planned by the master. You have been designed by God. You were thought up and designed by the master creator who saw our lives before we were ever born, and he dreamed up great things for you and me. God told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. He said in Jeremiah 29 and 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Somebody today needs to realize that your life is not an accident. Your life is not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are not a failure. You were designed for a reason. You exist on purpose. You are part of a grand plan. It's God's master plan. It's, come on, the plan of God has great things in store for you. And if you'll trust him, if you'll follow his plan, if you'll be faithful to his word, he wants to lead you all the way to a spectacular end. Is anybody thankful? God's got a plan for us. God's got a purpose for us. He's got a plan for you. He has a plan for me. Ephesians 2 and 10 tells us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Another translation says it like this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago." Everyone here today, we need to realize that we are God's masterpiece. He designed us on purpose. He put a lot of thought and a lot of effort into making us who we are. And it's all for a specific purpose. He has some good works for us to do. He has a place for us in his grand plan. We're part of something wonderful and glorious and magnificent. It's the master plan of God. You see, the enemy wants us deceived. He wants us to live deceived about who we are and for what purpose we exist. If he can get us to think, I don't have a purpose. There's no reason for my life. There's no purpose for me. We're just an accident. We're just a failure. We've got nothing to offer. Then what good is our life if we go around believing that? And we'll walk through life aimlessly searching for something to do and wasting the potential that God placed inside of us from our very birth. Wasting time that should be spent accomplishing something great for God. Letting the God-given talent and ability that every one of us have, let it lie dormant in us. If the enemy can deceive us about who we are in Jesus Christ, then he can hold us back from our God-given destiny. Don't let the enemy deceive you today. Don't let him lie to you any longer, but pray God reveals your purpose to you. Pray that God opens your eyes unto the reason you have for living. I tell you, it's there. There is a purpose. There is a plan. Lord, reveal the way that you want me to go. And then when God points out the direction, you need to learn to walk forward with faith, expecting that God's going to open the doors, expecting that God's going to keep directing your life. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I'm not deceived, but I have a destiny. Say it, I'm not deceived, I have a destiny. John 10 and 10 tells us, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He wants to steal our identity. He wants to deceive us about who we are in Jesus Christ. And he also comes to kill. He comes with the spirit of death and darkness to kill the plan of God in us, to defeat us in what God has ordained for us to do. I can't help but feel in my spirit today that there's some here today that you're defeated. You've been defeated in your spirit. You've been defeated in your mind. You've been attacked with everything that the devil has brought your way. You're living a defeated life today, and he's doing his best to kill the plan that God has for you. Come on, there's some of you, you've made some mistakes, and you've fallen, and you've struggled perhaps for years, but there's been trials, and there's been hurts, and maybe even betrayals, and up until now, you're just so beat down that everything has come against you, and you've just given up in your place of defeat, and your spirit is tired, and it may not be everybody, but there's one or two today, I feel it in my spirit, that you're so beaten down by the world. You're so beaten down by sin. You've been so beaten down by failures. You've been so beaten down by pressures of life. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You come to church, but there's not really any connection with the Spirit. It's not that you don't believe God's real. It's not that you don't believe that God can do some things. You just don't believe that he'll do it for you. You know that God heals. You know that God delivers, but you've just been going through it for so long that you've lost the faith that God wants to deliver you. And so you're defeated in that place. The enemy has got you defeated. But let me tell somebody here today, defeat is a state of mind. Defeat is a state of mind. Armies surrender when they don't want to fight anymore. Defeat is a state of mind. The definition of defeat, to overcome in a contest, election, or battle, to prevail over, to frustrate, to eliminate or deprive of something expected. The enemy has got some of you defeated today. And not only that, but he wants to start that mind game on top of it. Why are you defeated? Why don't you have victory? Why aren't you an overcomer? God's Spirit should have all power. The blood of Jesus should bring you out. The church should have victory. If you don't have victory, you must not be a child of God. Come on, you've heard that before. Isn't it something how the enemy launches his attacks against us, and then he tries to make us feel guilty over the defeat when he's the one trying to defeat us in the first place? Well, look at how you messed up, and look at that mistake, and look at this sin, and look at the things you can't overcome, and look how you fell short of what God called you to do, and just see how you're not making any progress. Oh, look, you're going backwards. Defeated. God wants to deliver somebody today of a defeated spirit. A defeated spirit. Come on, you've lost the will to fight. You don't even have the strength to stand hardly, much less fight. And the enemy's convinced you that you'll never have victory, that you'll never overcome, and you're just defeated in your spirit today. But I tell you, God wants to deliver you of that defeat. God wants to deliver your mind. God wants to deliver your spirit. If you will let him today, he wants to deliver someone of that defeated spirit. Come on, it's been a long time since you had victory, but the supernatural power of God can deliver you in one instant of time. Hallelujah. Remember today what we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We cannot overcome this by ourselves. We do not have the strength to stand on our own, but the author and the finisher of our faith. He is in this house today, and I just feel like someone here today. If you will let him, God wants to take away that defeated spirit and give you the spirit of a victor, give you the spirit of an overcomer. He wants you to know that he's the author. He's the finisher of your faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, God has a master plan for you, and he's not finished yet. He's still working on you. He's still working on me. It may be a long time since he started, but he's able to complete it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. I just wish somebody'd shake off doubt and fear and unbelief today. Come on, I wish somebody just declare out loud by faith, I'm not defeated. I'm not defeated. The devil's trying to defeat me. The devil's trying to stop God's master plan. The devil's trying to stop God's purpose for me and for my family and for my life. But I'm not going to be defeated. I'm going to trust in Jesus. I'm going to worship God in the midst of the trial. I'm going to be faithful when it's not easy to be faithful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, we're designed for something good. We're designed for something great. It's the plan of God, and God wants to do great things. Sometimes you just got to speak by faith. I'm not defeated. I rebuke the spirit of defeat, and I loose victory and liberty and healing. Hallelujah. The enemy's come to steal. He wants to steal your identity. So you think that you're not anybody special in the kingdom of God, that you don't have a purpose. He comes to kill. He wants to kill the plan of God in your life and make you live defeated. And he comes to destroy. He comes to destroy. Yes, God has a master plan. He has a master plan. And every one of us are part of that design. But the enemy also has a plan. He wants to wreck every life that he can. He wants to destroy every home. He wants to destroy every marriage. He wants to destroy every church. He wants to destroy nations. He's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's not satisfied just with us living defeated. Remember, you can come back from defeat, and you can win the war, but he wants you destroyed. He wants you finished. It wasn't enough that the Jews rejected Jesus as the Messiah. It wasn't enough that he was falsely accused. It wasn't enough that he was beaten and imprisoned. Pilate did his best to release him, but the people, driven to rage, they demanded that Jesus be crucified because Satan wanted him destroyed forever and ever. And so he was taken to Golgotha, and they crucified him, nailing his hands and feet to the cross, and hanging him there between heaven and earth in such torment that no man should ever be made to endure. But along with the physical pain was also the weight of the sins of the whole world, as each of us were represented there too. And we read in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And they took his body and laid it in a new tomb, and a great stone was rolled over the door, and a guard was set, sealing the stone and guarding the tomb. That was what Satan wanted. He wanted him destroyed. He wanted him forever done away with, and along with him, the work of salvation that he came to do. But God has the last say today. God has the last say today. Come on, somebody needs to hear that. God has the last say. God has the last say about your family. God has the last say about your ministry. God has the last say about your victory. And we read in Matthew 28, 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord ascended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. They didn't know what was going on, but they fainted. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for we know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. He is risen. The enemy thought he had him destroyed. The enemy thought he had won the victory. He thought it was finished. But when Jesus uttered those words on the cross, it didn't mean that he was finished. It meant that his plan was finished. And this was what he came to do all along, to die for your sins and to die for my sins and for the sins of the whole world. That was his master plan. And all the enemy did, what he meant for evil, God turned it for good. Hallelujah. Come on, who am I preaching to in this house? The enemy wants you destroyed. He wants you finished. He wants you terminated. He wants you out of the picture. And maybe he really did a number on your life to where you committed sins that you would have never dreamed you'd ever commit. And maybe you fell like you never imagined you can fall. And there you lay in failure, in embarrassment, in guilt, and in shame, in defeat. And the enemy thought he had you destroyed. And maybe you thought so too. That your potential, your calling, your ministry, your place in the plan of God had been destroyed. But I've come to tell you, God has the last word. God has the last word. And despite all the stuff that's happened along the way, God is still able to finish what he started in you. Come on, God's able to finish it. God's able to finish it. The best plans of the enemy have only left you in defeat, and he wants you to believe you're destroyed, but God has the last word about that. Come on, some of you are coming back from defeat today. Come on, some of you are coming out of a place of defeat today. God's removing shackles, and God's removing chains. He's delivering your mind. He's delivering your spirit. He's setting you free from some things. If you will let him, God wants to finish some things.
Come on, I know it's been a long time. I know you've been bound a long time. I know you've been suffering a long time. But God wants to finish some things that He started long ago. God wants to set some things straight. God wants to open some doors. God wants to bring you out today. Hallelujah. I believe this. I believe I've come with a message from the Holy Ghost today that God has, He does not mean for you to be destroyed. The enemy wants you destroyed. The enemy wants you to think you're destroyed, but God's not finished yet. It's not God's will for your life. Paul declared in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 9, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not our power. We'll be destroyed if we rely on our own power. But he goes on to say, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You're not meant to be destroyed. That's not God's plan for you. We may be troubled. We may be perplexed. We may be persecuted. We may even be cast down, but we're not destroyed. God's not finished yet. He's still working on you, and He's still working on me. I wish a little faith would start to rise in this house today, that maybe I am something in the kingdom of God. Maybe God does has a plan for me. Maybe God isn't finished yet, but He's still working on me. He's still opening doors. He's still making a way. He's still providing. John 10 and 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and life more abundantly. If you don't have abundant life, if your life is anything less than abundant, it's time to let God set you free. It's time for God to finish some things. It's time for God to give you that breakthrough. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I wish there'd be some old-time saints that just under your breath, you'd start praying in the Spirit right now. Come on, I wish there'd be some young people right now. You start praying in the Holy Ghost, because there's a spiritual work that God wants to do here in this house. And the enemy does not want you to be freed. He does not want you to have victory. He wants you to remain bound. He wants you to be in fear and unbelief. But God's saying, I've got more to do in your life. I'm not finished yet. I've come to complete some things. I've come to set you free today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I preached it before. God didn't cause your sin. God did not cause your sin. But in spite of your sin, He can take your brokenness. He can take your failure. He can take your defeat and bring something good from it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a mystery. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. It's a mystery. Oh, great is the mystery of godliness. How can God, who sees all things, who knows all things, who knew my life and knew your life before we were ever born, in his omniscience, in his all-knowingness, he knew our sins before we ever committed them, but he was also manifest in the flesh. And he died at Calvary knowing that we were going to fail, knowing that we were going to fall, and yet he loved us anyway. I tell you today, here today, that the master plan of God has already taken into account your failures, and his plan still calls for victory. Despite our shortcomings, the master plan of God still calls for us to win. It still calls for us to be an overcomer. It still calls for us to be free. I just wish somebody would have faith enough to declare Micah chapter 7 and verse 8 right now, right over your life. Declare it by faith. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I might have fallen, but I can still get up. I might have failed, but I'm going to still run to the hand of God. He's not finished with me. He's not finished with you. He's still got a master plan. Come on, I wish somebody would receive that today. There's some of you, you've got it, but there's some others. You need to get this today. God sent a word to your heart. God's not done with you. You might feel destroyed. You might feel defeated, but God's still working. God's still in control. He has the last word. Praise the Lord. In closing today, think with me upon the life of David. What a rich example of humanity. What a blessed model of a relationship with God. Of course, David wasn't perfect, but that means we all have hope. Acts chapter 13, verse 21 tells us, and afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. God, in this great mystery of godliness, looked at David's life, knowing David wasn't going to be perfect, knowing that David was going to make failures, said, this is a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. What a great testimony. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Consider with me just a moment. You may be seated if you wish, but consider a few details about David's life. As a young boy, he was a shepherd. He was the youngest. He's kind of an outcast, actually. He was not the most bold. He was not the loudest, not the most popular. But out there in the fields, he developed a relationship with God. Don't you know the attack of the enemy was on against David? That little shepherd boy. The attack was on to deceive him about who he was. Look at you, David. You're just a shepherd. You're out here all by yourself tending the sheep. You're not up to par with all your older brothers. You're just the least. Even Samuel, when he was sent by God to Jesse's house to anoint one of his sons, when he looked at Eliab, he thought in his heart, this is the guy right here. But the Lord said unto Samuel, don't look on the outside, for I've refused him. But the Lord looks at the heart. And all the other sons passed before Samuel, but it was none of them. And Samuel said, is this it? Is this all? Well, there's still one, but you really don't want to see him. He's just the youngest. And he really can't do anything else, so we just keep him out there tending the sheep. It's just David. Right now, he's probably out there singing some song and playing on his harp. Don't worry about David. But Samuel said, go get him. And when David came in, the Lord said unto Samuel, he said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. The enemy, no doubt, tried to convince David that he was a nobody. He's not important enough to come and meet the prophet. He's just the youngest. He's out taking sheep, taking care of sheep. But out there on the fields, David developed a relationship with God, and God called him a man after his own heart. Don't let the enemy deceive you about who you are in Jesus Christ, because God has a plan for you. You may not be the most popular. You may not be the oldest or the strongest or the... But you keep close to God. You keep your heart right with God and let God open the doors. David went through a lot. He was anointed, but he wasn't sitting on the throne right away. In fact, Saul tried many times to kill him. David became an outcast, running for his life and hiding in caves. Don't you know he felt defeated? Later on in his life, he once again found himself on the run. But this time, it was because his own son Absalom had taken over the throne. Don't you know the enemy tried to make David feel defeated? Why all of the struggle, David? Why all of the heartache? Why all of the pain and the turmoil? Why are you going through all of this, David? You must be out of the will of God. Surely this isn't God's plan for you. You're just a failure. You're defeated. But in his time of banishment, running for his own life, David wrote Psalm 61, and we read verses 1 through 3. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry out unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. God had a master plan for David's life, and it did not include his destruction or his defeat. Sometimes we got to cry out to God in the midst of that low place where our heart is overwhelmed, and we've got to say, God, I need you to hear my prayer. Hear my prayer, oh God. My heart is overwhelmed. I just can't seem to take it anymore. God, you're going to have to lead me to a rock that is higher than I. You're going to have to bring me up out of this place. And by faith, sometimes you got to declare, Lord, you've been a shelter for me. Been a strong tower from the enemy, and I'm going to trust your master plan. One more. Consider with me how he must have felt when his sin with Bathsheba was before him. Nathan the prophet came in and said, thou art the man. Don't you know the enemy wanted David destroyed to be done with this man after God's own heart? And he thought he'd finally brought him to that place of destruction. But look at David's prayer. In this place that he should have been destroyed. Psalm 51 and verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Jesus, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. It should have destroyed him, but instead of letting it drive him from the presence of God, David lets his failure drive him to God in repentance. And God's plan moved forward, using a man that was broken but was submitted to the plan of God. And God has a master plan for you today. You do not let any failure, don't you let any defeat, don't you let any brokenness destroy that plan. Come on, maybe you got a little off track. Maybe you've had some problems, and the enemy's trying to convince you you're destroyed, but you come in repentance to God, and you let him put the pieces back together again. Oh, pray that prayer of David. Create within me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Hatabahaya. And look what David was able to declare in Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Some of you today, the enemy's got you convinced that you're defeated, that you're destroyed, but I feel like God wants to pick you up with his hand. And he wants to say, I'm not done with you. I'm not finished with you. I still have a work for you to do. I still have a calling for your life. Would you stand with me today? Look what David was able to say in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus has come to give you life more abundantly. That is the plan of God for your life. If you're living a life that is anything less than abundant, God's master plan has more for you. Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Our text again today, Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I wonder if you'd bow your heads with me and just let a spirit of prayer sweep through this place. What a weight is upon us here today. The weight of eternity. Yes, in this service, in this moment, eternal destinies can be decided. The eternal destiny of your soul, of my soul. Satan has a plan for you. He's come to steal. He's come to kill. He's come to destroy. But the Holy Ghost is in this house, and God wants you to have life more abundantly. What determines your destiny what determines whose will wins. Will it be the will of Satan or will it be the will of God? It all comes down to our heart. Will we, like David, open our heart? Open our heart to God and cry out to Him? Or will we refuse to repent? And will we refuse to take down the walls and let God begin to minister? It's up to us here today. And I want to tell you, God's master plan does not include your defeat. It does not include your destruction. It includes victory. Is there anybody in this house today you want victory? I wonder if you find a place at this altar right now and say, God, I need you. I need you to pick me up out of that place. I need you to lead me to a rock that's higher than I. Come on, is there anybody here that the enemy's really been pouring it on? He's been talking to you about your failure. He's been talking to you about all the times you've fallen. But here today, you realize God's not finished. God still has the last say. And you'd come once more and you'd give your heart to God. Come on, would you open your heart and let God begin to do His work? This is the stuff that He does. It's restoration. That's where God specializes in. Come on, would you find a place of prayer and let God minister right now? Would you give your heart to the Lord?